This is Catherine Giraudot with PodTech News. I'm speaking today with Peter Sokolowski. He's an associate editor at Merriam-Webster Incorporated. Peter, welcome to PodTech News.
Hi, nice to be here.
Some new words, including some tech words, have just been added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. What are they?
There's a handful of tech words. Of course, technology words have been a rich source of vocabulary in English for a little bit more than a decade now, with the advent of the Internet, of course. It's no surprise. But the words for this year, 2006 copyright, include technopreneur, sort of a blend of technology and entrepreneur, ringtone, which should surprise no one because it's such a big business in the tech world, spyware, finally into the dictionary, text messaging for the first time, and Google as a verb.
Wasn't there one more, mouse potato?
That's right, mouse potato, a person who spends a great deal of time using a computer. So obviously sort of a something that's blended from a couch potato.
What are the trademark issues with Google becoming a verb? I mean, isn't it true that once a word enters a dictionary, it's no longer legally protected as a trademark?
That may or may not be true. I'm not a lawyer. The fact is, however, that trademarked words that enter the dictionary are always entered with great respect to the trademark, and it's always attributed. But I have to say that they're also always entered when the words themselves come to mean a generic version of the trademarked item. So in the case of nouns, for example, we are all familiar with Kleenex and Band-Aid and dumpster and Jeep, for example. And those were all trademarked words that have come to mean a generic version of a paper tissue in one case or a large trash receptacle in another case. In the case of verbs, like Xerox, for example, you have a generic product of the action. That is to say that when you make a Xerox or you Xerox something, you're getting a copy, and that's how it's understood. Google is different because Google is not a generic object but a generic action. It just simply means to search, and therefore we have it as a lowercase word, and we refer to the company Google in our etymology, our word history. It says Google, trademark for a search engine. And we have heard, not directly, but we have heard through news sources that Google is right pleased with that attribution.
And no one lobbied to keep the verb to Google out of the dictionary, worried that they would lose trademark protection.
Not at all, not at all. And in fact, I mean, on the other hand, it really represents a terribly strong brand name, obviously. Coke is another one that is in the dictionary in this way, and that is to say it refers often enough to sort of any soda. And again, we don't define Coke, we define the generic use to mean any other soda. And so that's how we treat these words, and we've never had any trouble.
Now, how are words deemed worthy of the dictionary? What's the process by which they're nominated and chosen?
There is a process. It's more a consequence than a choice, however. It's a consequence of finding these words in print in a wide variety of sources, and that is to say Time Magazine, Newsweek Magazine, The New York Times, but also local newspapers, academic journals, medical journals, and, of course, online, and also sort of more ephemeral things, restaurant menus and soup can labels, anything that is going to be sort of read by the average reader or encountered by the average reader. Those are words that we deem essential in our lexicon, in our vocabulary of American English.
And how long does a word have to be in these kinds of usages to get elevated into the dictionary?
It can vary tremendously. It can vary tremendously because it really is dependent on only one thing, and that is frequency. So there are many words that have been around for a long, long time. Words like senioritis, for example, meaning to lose interest in studying when you're a senior in high school or in college, for example, that has been around for time immemorial, but it just made it into the dictionary this year because it's occurring more frequently in novels and in newspapers. So the fact is there is a threshold, but the threshold isn't newness. The threshold is currency or frequency.
And the criteria also needs to be written. So vernacular
Absolutely.
Words used in even songs, I suppose, or common speech are not weighted as heavily, or are they weighted at all?
Well, it's true. We need printed evidence, and really that's the only way that we can have perfect justification for entering a word in the dictionary, and that is to say we can back everything that we put in the dictionary up with evidence of the word used in context in that discernible meaning. And that's why spoken language, slang, for example, it takes a lot longer to get into the dictionary. Now, that is happening slowly but surely because of what I call a sort of general relaxation of formal prose, and that means newspaper and magazine writing in particular, journalism. The word brewski to mean a beer, for example, just got in the dictionary a couple of years ago, and it's certainly a very old word, but it's now found in print more frequently.
How often are new words accepted into Merriam-Webster's dictionary?
Well, this is our annual update. So every single year we do an update that corrects things and adds things to the dictionary. Every decade we have a total cover-to-cover revision where we revisit every fact that's in the dictionary, every date, every spelling, every styling, and every sense or meaning of the word. But every year in between, we do add words to the dictionary. In this case, about 100 words were added this year, and some of the more popular ones we've mentioned.
Now, I know you also put out a Scrabble dictionary. Any idea if I can now use Google in my next Scrabble game?
I would gather that you can. I'm not an expert on Scrabble. That's a different department. But I believe that if the broad rules are that if the word appears in a popular desk dictionary, then it is viable for play, and that now is true. However, I do have to add that these new words that we've been talking about, they're available at merriam-webster.com. You can check all the new words out. The print version of this edition will be out in the fall.
Peter, just in closing, do you have any guesses at tech word candidates for next year? I noticed blog has already made it in, but what about podcast?
Yep, blog was last year. Podcast absolutely is the top of our list for this coming year, and part of the reason is that podcast is a word that now appears on our own website because we actually have a podcast version of our word of the day, which is up to now been an emailed word that is given with its history and a little context. And now we're making a podcast version of that, and so you can download it through our website.
Well, you know, I'll feel better when my job title is actually in the dictionary.
Podcaster. That's, I would say, not too distant in the future.
Well, Peter Sokolowski, thank you so much for joining me on PodTech News.
Okay, thank you.
I've been speaking with Peter Sokolowski. He's an associate editor at Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and he has just been talking to us about the new tech words just added to the dictionary. Thanks again.